If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56steve.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. And it's coming back, the Great American Dog Show, September 5th through the 7th at Kentigee Park. That's in Wheaton. And the president of the Great American Dog Show, clearly a great American himself, Scott Feil, is here. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
You know, I'm very excited for this dog show because this is different than any other, the way you've described it, any other dog show that I've ever been to. And I've been to a lot of dog shows over the years. So how is this different? Can you explain it?
Yeah, Steve, it's totally different. And you've been there many times and you know, we have a totally different philosophy around what we want to do here. We want to make this an experience where people can come out. They can enjoy the dog and everything they do. Not just a dog show running around or looking pretty, but all of the things that these purposeful dogs are bred to do. For everything from scent work to water work to all different things that they do. But make it a fun family event while you're learning all about it.
And this show is greatly outdoors.
This is. This is the first time that the Great American Dog Show is going outdoors.
Or any
so
dog show.
A little bit.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Different opportunity for us. We get to have people bring dogs with them. So you can bring your own dog as long as well-behaved, healthy, and under control. We're inviting you to bring your dog out to the show and take advantage of all the different things that we've got going on.
All right. Now, this is the point. Stop right there. Because, you know, you think of a dog show and you think of the very fancy pedigreed purebred dogs. And they will be, I assume, at your dog show. But you don't think about the dog you happen to have at home, the dog you share the sofa with when you're listening to the radio and hearing this conversation. So for that dog, you can bring your dog. Now, how does that work? Are these dogs judged, or is it just a good time on the grass doing what dogs do?
It's a good time for you to come out with your dog and hang out with you, your dog, your family. So, Kentigee Park only lets dogs, I believe, once a month come out during the week. This whole weekend, they're inviting you to bring your dog out and enjoy the entire park, not just our event, but the entire park. But when you bring your dog out now, you're not going to compete in the what you consider the beauty contest, where we look at them against their standards, that piece of it. But what you do get to do is things like what we're calling our healthy dog walk, where you can come and walk with your dog around the park, take pictures of different things, come back, get in a medallion, a certificate, and really get out there with your dog and experience the whole park. And then another really cool thing that we're doing, Steve, is you've been there and you've seen all the demos that we do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the agility, the obedience, the scent work, that kind of stuff. We're going to be doing those demos, but we're having a slight twist to it. After you watch the professional dogs do it and run around and do their thing, there'll be an opportunity for you to work with the trainers that we have there to learn how it, and try some things out with your dog. Try going through the weave poles with your dog. Try doing some other things. So we've got some amazing trainers that are going to be there. So you too can try some of this with your dog.
You know, the great thing about canine sports, first of all, just like for people, activity is healthy for the dogs. And in fact, that is an issue. I mean, half the dogs in America are overweight or obese. Statistically, that is the case. But you're with the dog doing any of those sports you rattled off. That does enhance the human-animal bond. And it's in a way that's very difficult to describe, I think, on the radio. But if you've done it, friends, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you're working with your dog as a teammate. Am I anywhere near close to describing this correctly?
Absolutely. That's exactly what we're trying to do. Because, you know what, you have your dog at your home, laying on your couch, you let him out in your yard, you might take him for a walk every once in a while. There's that bond. But when you start to do activities with them, and they really show how attached they are to you, and how they want to please you and want to do things with you, these activities really build that bond. And these trainers will tell you all about it.
Oh,
it's so unique, Steve, that relationship between a dog and their human. It's amazing.
No, it is. So you described what you might do with your dog, but here's what we have not made clear, and I've never seen this at a dog show. If you have a dog that you're looking at that, say, mixed breed, a Heinz 157, as long as your dog, there'll be other dogs there, so it'll be very important that your dog is okay with other dogs and people around. But assuming your dog is, you can bring your dog any mix, any breed. It doesn't matter, Scott?
That's absolutely right. I've spent my entire life telling people the importance of a purebred dog and what they've done in our world to help us, whether it be hunting, saving folks. It's just amazing. Guarding, you know, the military has used them for years, search and rescue, and all of these purebred dogs have it built into them. But the difference here is we love all dogs. We don't discriminate. The love of a dog is a love of a dog. And that's what we're trying to break down here. There's not a purebred versus your Heinz 57. It's the human and the dog bond and they love. And that's why we want everybody to come out and enjoy.
Well, that's excellent. And we'll talk more about what you can do with your own dog when you come out, but also what's happening at the Great American Dog Show. And I presume there will be vendors there and all that sort of thing that you typically see at a dog show. But this dog show is outdoors, September 5th through 7th at Kentucky Park. And that is in Wheaton. And we'll be back with Scott File, president of the Great American Dog Show on WGN. Scott File is the president of the Great American Dog Show. And that is, again, coming to Chicago. Well, Wheaton, that counts. September 5th through 7th at Kentucky Park, which is huge, I believe, Scott, that particular park.
First of all, it is huge, but it is gorgeous. You get the paths that walk around there, the gardens that they have there. They have the tank museum there. There's a huge history of dogs. And the former owner, the McCormick family, it's a beautiful place to spend a September afternoon with you, your dog, and your family.
So you can come, you can enjoy the dog show, but you can also just walk around the park, as you noted. And in the dog show, you can participate in dog sports. Rattle off the sports again.
So there's lots of different things that we're doing. And you can go to the greatamericandogshow.com or our Eventbrite page to see the exact schedule of what's going to be going on. But there's agility, there's a rally, there's obedience.
Well, I want to slow you down. So agility is an obstacle course for dogs, and that's been well promoted. It's been on television. What is rally? Do you all
Rally's
go?
Another form of the sport, yes. And I call it a combination between agility and obedience. It's like the gateway into everybody knows obedience, right? And that's where you kind of learn to get your dog to behave. That's some of the things that our folks at home, you'll start to, when you get your puppy, you know, you'll go to an obedience class so that they don't jump on the counter. When you're walking down the road, they don't jump on everybody that comes. And then you start to progress through the sports. The one thing I'm going to give the American Kennel Club a lot of credit for is they constantly come up with these new activities. They do, you know, frisbee work. They do lots of different things, racing, lots of different things. that build the bond with your dog, and in all fairness, gives your dog something really fun to do besides just laying on the couch.
Do you think that, I mean, it's wonderful that dogs are part of the family, and in fact, statistically, well over 90% of the people that have a dog consider that dog to be, or their dogs, to be a part of the family. And that's something else. We have more multi-dog homes in America than we've ever had. Having said all that, do we sometimes forget that they are dogs and we don't allow, quote-unquote, the dog to do what it was bred to do in the first place? For example, you may not have sheep at home for your border collie, but you might have a frisbee disc, and the dog can herd in quotes, air quotes, that frisbee disc. Is that something that you think about?
Absolutely, because like I talked about, these dogs were bred to do something. If they were to guard, to search and rescue, Newfoundland's doing water retrieving, you know, rescuing people in the water. You see all these things. I come from hunting dogs from the Middle East. You know, I have Afghan hounds and Salukis. You know, those were part of the family. Those were that helped them survive, to find their food, to guard, you know, to guard the tents. So it was just an amazing thing that those folks had and how they bonded with these dogs. The dogs still have that instinct, Steve. And these are some of the activities that get them back to their roots.
And as a part of the Great American Dog Show, will there also be a dog show where you get to see all the dogs that happen to be there, from Afghan Pinscher to Yorkshire Terriers, I suppose, and everything in between, do their thing as dogs do at dog shows?
Absolutely. And the International Kennel Club of Chicago is the centerpiece of the entire Great American Dog Show. It's well over 100 years old. It's got a huge tradition in the city of Chicago. One of the first kennel clubs ever founded in the United States. And it's got that huge history. So it brings in some of the greatest dogs from all over the country. And you've been there when we brought in dogs from all over the world.
Yeah. But what I've not been there...
One of the other things I wanted to make sure...
Go ahead.
One of the things I wanted to make sure you understood was that we have lots of things for people to do. I talked about the healthy dog walk. I talked about that folks get to come out and participate after in some of these agility things and talk to the trainers. But also we have the kids zone where your kids can play and they can get their face painted. We have something called Greet the Breed, where we have several booths where you can get up and close and play with some of these dogs, learn from the breeders, see if it's a good match for your family, a breed you may never have seen in your life before. So it's a really cool place to learn about dogs, too. It's not just a fun day, it's a learning experience as well.
Yeah, but in a fun way, and lots for the family to do. And you've, in addition to that, you have, I'm guessing, free stuff, some samples of dog food, that kind of thing, as well as vendors there that have all sorts of different dog-related products?
So many. And our vendors are amazing. And they're still coming in. I was just working on that today. They continue to come in one after another. They love to get out there and show the public everything they've got. So we've got people coming from all over the country, as well as trainers, kennels, groomers, all from the local area. So if you're looking to talk to somebody about it, you're a little nervous about something, they'll all be there to discuss it with.
All right.
But we all love the shopping part of it.
Indeed, that is a fun part of it. And the other thing that I was going to say earlier is that with all the dog shows that I have been to in Chicago, and there have been a few smaller events over the years that have been outdoors, but this is the first time, to my knowledge, the International Kennel Club of Chicago has ever held a dog show outdoors and invited your dogs, all of your dogs, anyone's dog who is a well-socialized dog. That, to my knowledge, Scott, is a first.
It is, and it makes it really exciting because, again, we want people that love dogs to come and spend a day with their dog and meet other people that love dogs.
Now, if I bring... Go ahead.
No, it just makes it that kind of environment. It brings us all together. You know, Steve, we've been asked a lot of times when we do the indoor shows, that's harder. We have a smaller venue to do this in. It becomes a little tight to bring your dogs with you.
Sure.
That's why we wanted to do this outdoor show where you can bring your dog along with you.
Scott, it's brilliant. But I want to be sure that people know again when it is, where it is. And by the way, we haven't talked about this, how much it is to get in for adults, for kids, and for dogs.
So your dogs are free. That's a good thing. Bring your dog along with you. So our tickets are $20 for adults and $15 for kids. So, and you can, again, go to thegreatamericandogshow.com or Eventbrite to get your tickets. And it tells you all the schedules, things to do, everything I probably forgot to mention because there's a ton more things that are going on. Steve, before I go, I got to tell you one thing I did forget. We do have a guest speaker that'll be there that'll be part of the demo situation. And she will be talking about first aid for your pet, if your pet gets poisoned, if you get a cut on your dog and you're trying to get to the emergent clinic, all of those kind of things that will help with your dog at home if something happens. And so we've got those experts trying to help and show people that what to do if something were to occur at home.
All right. That's, again, September 5th through 7th. At Cantigi Park, that's in Wheaton, Great American Dog Show. Thank you very much, the president, Scott File. Next week on the show, you won't believe this. She's been out there for quite some time talking about aging and why actors and actresses are prejudiced against because they simply get older and how to age with dignity. I'm talking about Brooke Shields. She wrote an entire book about the topic, and now she's talking about aging in pets. I don't know exactly, specifically, what she will talk about, but I guess we will all find out next week. That's right, Brooke Shields will be here to talk about aging in pets. I do know this, in general, our pets are living longer than ever before. And I say that carefully, in general, because a subset of our pets are dying early, dying way too early. I was moderating a session at a veterinary conference. Dr. Ian Dunbar was talking about this very issue. Hemangiosarcoma in golden retrievers. That is just one example of this kind of oftentimes typically, very typically, fatal cancer that happens so quickly. It's a blood cancer. And while it isn't specific to golden retrievers, they seem to be getting this more often than other breeds. So, yeah, they're dying at the age of 3 or 4 or 5 of this terrible cancer. But in general, our dogs and cats are living longer than ever before. Better nutrition, increased veterinary visits, and also what veterinary medicine can do today compared to even just 10 years ago. Other reasons for that as well, including for cats, we're keeping them indoors. And indoors, they are more likely to live longer. Anyway, we'll talk about all of that. Well, probably not all of that. I don't know what we'll talk about with Brooke Shields. It'll be interesting, and that's next week. We'll also talk about feline infectious peritonitis with Dr. Mike Lappin. He's with Colorado State University. He's a professor there of internal medicine. And we will chat with him about an upcoming symposium on FIP, which is also being co-sponsored by the Every Cat Health Foundation. That event is September 6th and 7th. And yeah, I know Colorado State University is in Fort Collins, Colorado, but you can attend. Yes, you can go to Colorado, but you can also attend online. So check it out at everycat.org to learn more. Why do we need to learn about FIP or feline infectious peritonitis? Well, we've come a long way with this. Just a couple of years ago, I had the honor of announcing that this disease is now considered what it was once fatal. It's now considered treatable. Much more on that next week with details about FIP. She is with Friends of Chicago Animal Care and Control, a member of their board of directors, Jamie White. Welcome to this show. How are you?
Hi, Steve. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'll tell you, it's a pleasure, and I love what Friends of Chicago Animal Care and Control does. But for those who don't know, what does this nonprofit do?
Thank you. So Friends of Animal Care and Control was founded to exclusively help the animals in care of Chicago's only municipally funded animal shelter, Chicago Animal Care and Control. So we are the only nonprofit dedicated to Chicago's animals.
Yeah. So to put it simply, if right now I wrote a check, which wouldn't be a terrible thing, to Chicago Animal Care and Control, that check would go to the city and be split in any different way, and who the heck knows which department it would land in. Maybe the sewer department. So, Friends of Chicago Animal Care and Control was created by a lady by the name of Charlie Propsom. I don't know how many years ago at this point in time, but several years ago. And that money specifically does go to Chicago Animal Care and Control. Have I got that story right?
That is correct. The only correction is I don't think you can quite write a check to the city these days.
No. Well, so, I don't know. I have no idea about that. But you could write one. You could write one to Animal Control for the city, and it would just go to the city, where a check to Friends of Chicago Animal Care and Control, the specific nonprofit to help support the municipal facility for Chicago, does go to all of the animals and in the care of the municipal facility, which is Chicago Animal Care and Control. So,
correct.
Yeah.
The budget is just so tight, as everybody knows, for the city of Chicago. And so that's where Friends steps in to try to fill in those gaps of where we can really help the animals, where the city budget can't quite reach.
And in many places, let's be honest, it doesn't reach. I mean, Chicago,
absolutely,
the budget these days isn't flowing with money. And what's more, the percent of money that Animal Control gets from the city of Chicago, it's just a fact, is less than most other cities around America, even cities smaller than ours. I'm talking about, I mean, some cities smaller than ours get a lot more money for animal control. So it's unfortunate, but happy that Friends of Chicago Animal Control exist. You're very important, and what you do is very important, and raising money is very important. And this is a great idea that you are now going to have as a way to raise money, a cruise for dogs and people, called the 2025 Canine Cruise. Talk about that.
Yeah, we're very excited. Just one time this summer, we're going to have a canine cruise. The First Lady is graciously hosting us and our canine friends. So tickets are now on sale. It's going to be just one night. It's a Wednesday night, August 27th, for a lovely evening cruise down the Chicago River. It's going to be from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. Again, nice summer evening. You can bring your well-behaved dog. There's tickets for dogs available. And we're really excited to hopefully bring some new eyes to what's going on at the city's animal shelter and raise funds to help the programs that are near and dear to our heart that we help out with.
Now, the First Lady is the boat that, or the group, they have several boats, but it's the one on the southeast side, Michigan Avenue at the Chicago River, and they've been doing what they do for years. And how wonderful it is, because I happen to know this, that they are taking zero, all the money. None of it goes to the cruise line. They said all the money, this is how generous they are, goes to Friends of Chicago Animal Care and Control, which is absolutely wonderful. In fact, the canine cruise they've now been doing for decades. And I don't know, Jamie, that you know this story, but at that time, I was doing the pet show maybe on Sunday afternoons or Saturday afternoons, and Holly Agra, who owned the company then, still does, family-owned, it's been for decades, walks by, we were on Michigan Avenue at that time, and I wave her into the studio, and we're chit-chatting on the air, and then off the air, I said, how are things going? She said, you know, I wish we could get more people from the suburbs to come in for the cruises, particularly for the architecture cruise. And I said, why aren't they? And she said, well, by the time they drive in and then they go on the cruise and then they have lunch because they want to eat after, or maybe dinner after, and then get back home, their dog has to go out. They can't spend that much time. I said, aha, you need a cruise for dogs, an architecture cruise for dogs. And she looked at me like, a what? And we come out of the commercial break. I said, Holly just said she's got a way, and you won't believe this will be the first in the country. And she's looking at me like I'm crazy. I said, she's going to launch an architecture cruise for dogs. And I asked her, I said, what will your moderator talk about? And she looked at me again like I was crazy. I don't know, you know. And I said, I know. You're going to show off the parks with the most squirrels. You're going to definitely talk about the oldest fire hydrant in the city of Chicago. And I said, you know, but technically I don't know much about boats. What do you call the front of the boat? And she said, the bow. I said, not on this thing. It'll be the bow wow. And I went on, and she suffered through me all that time. But I went on, and it turned out that she had all these TV crews come out. It got all sorts of national publicity even. You know, crazy, a cruise, people bring their dogs. Well, that was decades ago, I think about 20 years ago. And she's been doing it. What's more, I'm told that it's been replicated on the Potomac River, replicated in Boston Harbor. I mean, people want to do things, Jamie, with their dogs. And the success of this, I think, proves the case.
I agree. And we're just so lucky and fortunate that we were asked to host this and, again, bring awareness to friends. And we're so grateful for the First Lady for donating that.
Absolutely. So how can people get tickets if they are so inclined?
Great question. So tickets are available through Eventbrite. Anybody can go to Friends of Animal Care and Control's Facebook page or Instagram page. There is links to Eventbrite, or they can go to our website, fcacc.org, and there will be a link to Eventbrite there as well.
And I want to talk more about Chicago Animal Care and Control. And we'll talk more about the canine cruise. And maybe, Jamie, you can answer this question. Why every time I go on one of these canine cruises, and I've done it, as you can imagine, many, many times at this point, there's always a dog with a sailor's cap. And that dog with the sailor's cap somehow is always a Jack Russell Terrier. You will answer that, or try to, perhaps, when we come back on WGN. Jamie White is a member of the Board of Directors of Friends of Chicago Animal Care and Control, fcacc.org, for tickets for this dog cruise we've been talking about on August 27th. How much are the tickets, Jamie?
They're $45 for people, and if you'd like to bring your well-behaved canine to our canine cruise, our tickets for dog friends are $10.
And registration in advance is important because there's only so much space on the boat, I presume.
There is. We do have a limit of 40 dogs and 60 people, so get your tickets sooner than later.
Yeah, and I hear you're going to maybe be serving some things, and it won't be a dinner cruise. However, it will be for sure lots and lots of fun. What isn't fun is when I pick up, say, a newspaper, and I see an image, or I've seen that image in social media, of people literally lined up to give up their pets in front of Chicago Animal Care and Control. And in fact, that's been happening all over the country. I've talked a lot about on the show why there are at least some of those reasons why people in numbers that are really astonishing giving up their animals. This, though, illustrates why Chicago Animal Control, Jamie, really does need the help. It's not, you know, I mean, there are people screaming about animal control online, you know. How can people do this? You know, how can animal control? Well, it's not animal control's fault that there are people lined up to give up their animals, and they are tasked by law. First of all, they have to take every animal. And interestingly enough, it is only the municipal facility, Chicago Animal Care and Control, and also anti-cruelty, has an open door policy. But really, that's about it in Chicago. So thank goodness they're there. But what do they then do with the animals? Now, there are rescue groups that they rely on. Other shelters heroically come in and take these animals as they can. Foster families, so incredibly important. But at the end of the day, Jamie, there is only so much space and also so many resources. We talked about earlier about how the city of Chicago has a budget for animal control, and that's all. That's it. That's all they get, you know, except where you come in and supplement and help fulfill their needs. Can you talk about all of this in a bit? It's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. And the Chicago Sun-Times also just had an article interviewing some of those waiting in that intake line, bringing in their pets, bringing in strays. And it is heartbreaking because this is kind of a last resort that people come to when they can no longer keep their animals. But some things that Friends has done this year, one is building a 24-hour microchip scanning station outside of the shelter. So instead of waiting in that intake line 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, if somebody finds a stray animal, they can take them to the scanning station outside of animal care and control and scan them for a microchip. And if they're microchipped, they can research and try to find the owner on their own and hopefully keep them out of the shelter and find that animal's family and reunite them on their own.
Absolutely. And that's just some of what you've done this year. What are some other things that Friends of Chicago Animal Control has done? There is an emergency. I forget you guys have a fancy name for it, and I'm not thinking of what that is.
We do. It's our after-hours crisis care program.
Yeah, thank you. Talk about that a bit.
Yeah, so after the shelter closes for the night and the vets go home, sometimes there's injured animals that need medical care that come in through the facility. And so several years ago, this after-hours crisis care program was set up. So when vets aren't available at the shelter, they can be diverted to Friends through our medical partners and can intervene. So the animals aren't languishing in cages overnight to receive medical care. They can be diverted to an emergency vet that Friends covers before they're stabilized and can be brought back to the shelter.
How was it that you landed on the board in the first place?
Yeah, just my involvement with animal care and control. I've been a volunteer here now for 6 years, primarily working with dogs. And as all volunteers here say, what can I do? What more can I do? And I've known Charlie for years through volunteering and just said, I can help. How can I contribute? How can I help more? And just it went from there.
You know, people sometimes say, how can I help more? Here's a way to help more and have a good time. Just take a ride on a boat and you can bring your dog if you'd like. And if you're listening to the show, even if you don't have a dog, I would suspect that you like dogs. And the other thing is that if you've not been for a couple of years on a ride on the Chicago River, I don't know where you live, Jamie. I don't need to know. But I'm saying for people that haven't been on the Riverwalk or haven't been out on the river on a boat near Lake Michigan, you know, what I'm talking about, just on the east end, it is great the way it's all been. It's so exciting to be there now, you know. So if you've not been there, you'll see new buildings. And it will be, there'll be some architecture, I think, narration as well. So this will be an opportunity to just enjoy the Chicago River, I think, more than anything else, you know. So once again, tell us how people can get tickets.
Yes, through Eventbrite. And there is a link on our Facebook page, Friends of Animal Care and Control, or on our Instagram, also Friends of Animal Care and Control. Instagram handle is FCACC1. There's a link to Eventbrite, or you can go directly to Eventbrite, FCACC Canine Cruise 2025.eventbrite.com, or our website, FCACC.org.
And what is the most important thing, aside from raising money here, what is the most important thing about this particular event for you, do you think?
For me, it's raising awareness about Chicago's animals and the crisis that the city's shelter is in and how much help is needed. It's a sad topic, but at least we can enjoy, you know, fellow animal lovers, fellow dog lovers can get together, enjoy a night out on the river, and come together for something that's very important in all of our lives.
You know, and I would suggest that a lot of people don't even know. They may know where their local shelter is, maybe in their neighborhood. If you're in the suburbs, you may know one in the burbs that's near you. You might not even know that on Southwestern Avenue in Chicago, there is this place where you can go in and either that or check it out online to see what they have, because every shelter does that now. But you could also go in person and adopt a dog or a cat like you can from any other animal shelter.
Absolutely. 365 days a year, there are animals to adopt at Chicago Animal Care and Control. There's over 250 dogs, over 200 cats, and Friends of Animal Care and Control also has a foster program. So if you're not quite ready to open your home full-time to a dog or cat, you can open your home as a foster, and Friends has a robust foster program in place.
Well, great talking to you, fcacc.org, to learn more, or just check it out at wgnradio.com in the description of this conversation when it's podcasted, or my website, stevedale.tv. Jamie White, thank you so much. So you're thinking alpine rescue dog. So there you are in the Swiss mountains, and you fall into a crevice. That's actually what happened to a hiker recently in Switzerland, and you have a dog with you to help rescue you. And you're thinking, I would think, St. Bernard, probably, right? I mean, they carry, what was it, whiskey in those? I don't know if it was whiskey. I think it was in those wooden sort of, no wonder why people wanted to be rescued. Or a Swiss mountain dog, perhaps, or another large breed. Well, when he had a walkie-talkie with him, this guy, so he was able to reach rescuers, but they couldn't find him. What they did find is this little dog dancing, and they saw the dog who would not leave his person who fell into the crevice. And this little dog was a chihuahua, helped to save the day. Let's hear it for chihuahuas. We'll talk to you next week, bright and early, on WGN.